on today's Technobabble. Is good audio worth the trouble?
This is Tech No Babble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Hi, and welcome again to another episode of Technobabble. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. There you can find all the contact information, or just leave your questions or comments. That's perfectly fine. If you're watching this on YouTube or on trinitydigitalmedia.com, just leave a comment below. That works for me. But if you're more of an email person, it's paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com. Or you can drop me a line over on Twitter. I'm Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAlanCliff. And you can talk to me there. Or if you like the phone, I'm not judging. 1-877-763-3246 is the phone number. So we've got you covered any of those ways. And all you have to remember is trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, because it's all listed there. So let's talk about whether good audio is worth the trouble or not. So last week, what I did was I turned off my lights and just depended on the overhead light in order to prove that good lighting is worth the trouble. Well, good audio is also worth the trouble. So how am I going to make it so that it's clear that good audio is worth the trouble? This is how. Yeah, what you're hearing right now is kind of bad audio. So you might be wondering how I accomplished that so quickly and easily. Well, first off, I record using Wirecast, which is both a live streaming piece of software and a recorder and a video switcher. So I have two exactly the same camera shots set up with different audio. So this is actually the audio from my Logitech camera, so it works okay. I mean, it's not the best thing in the world, but it could be worse. Like, for example, if it was this audio. So this is even worse audio. This is audio from my MacBook Pro itself, and it's using the built-in microphone. And occasionally you'll hear videos where it's clear that someone used this. What you might notice is you'll notice a lot more background noise. You'll also notice more echo. Now, perhaps you won't notice as much echo in this room, because you'll notice, actually it's back here behind me, that I've got a lot of books and they're absorbing the audio. Now, if I had tile or wood, oh, it would be really, really bad. So again, just to give you a comparison's sake, this is the Logitech audio, and the Logitech audio is better than the MacBook Pro audio, and primarily that's a function of the fact that the Logitech audio is closer to my face, quite frankly. But it still has what we call automatic gain control. So it's always looking for a certain level of audio, and when it doesn't hear it, it raises the background audio. So that's, at least I assume that that's what's going on. That's the way that it sounds to me. If I had the audio of the computer on right now, where you could hear it, it's not good. Not good at all. So I guess that's what I wanted to kind of stress to you. Now, if we go back to the original mic, you can actually hear how quiet it is. Let me not talk for a second. See how quiet that was? That's what we call noise floor. So ideally, the signal to noise ratio, and if you're an audio person, this all makes perfect sense to you. But if you're not, if you're just coming along with me as we learn more and more, signal-to-noise ratio. The signal is my voice in this situation. Noise is everything else. You want a lot of signal and very little noise, because as you turn up the signal, it's not the case that I talk louder, but if I were to boost that, everything would be boosted. But if the noise is very little, that would be better. So I want a high amount of signal and a low amount of noise. So the ratio should be much higher, like a big number to a small number. With these other microphones, the signal to noise ratio was a smaller differential. So that is part of the problem that we're dealing with here. So that is really, when you think about it, that's what you're aiming for, is you're aiming for good sound. And we'll talk more about good sound and some tips that I have for you right after this. Technobabble is generously provided for by viewers like you. Thank you. For as little as a dollar a month, you can support this and all the ChurchTechCast.com shows. So head on over to patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff. That's patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff, PaulAllenCliff, and you can support the show. Thank you. Okay, so let's now talk about some guidelines that I think will help you get better audio. First off, you'll notice that the microphone that I'm using right now, if you're watching the video, I'm pointing to it, it's a handheld microphone. Now, I'm not holding it in my hands. I'm actually using a boom arm, which holds this microphone and keeps it still so that even when I move my hands around it, as long as I don't actually hit it, you don't hear any handling noise. I was just watching a podcast, in fact, where there were three people and they were all holding the mics against their mouth. That's fine as long as you don't get handling noise, and we'll talk about that as well. But I'm using an external microphone. Ideally, with your video camera or with your computer or however you're recording the audio as well as the video, you would have an external microphone. Most of the inbuilt microphones are built in just so that they can do the job. So the idea is, will it kind of work? Good, that works. The size of this particular microphone, if you've got Shure SM58s at church, that's the kind of microphone this is. This is a less expensive one, but it works for me. This is an XM8500 made by Behringer. I think they don't actually make this particular one anymore, but if you do come across it, you can get it for very inexpensively. So an external microphone is a good starting point for having good audio. So start with an external microphone. Number two, try not to change the audio setup mid-production, especially when you're going from one person talking to that same person talking. So let me give you an example. I was watching a video on YouTube, and the guy who did it started talking to the camera, and it was clear that he was using the in-camera microphone. It was echoey, and there was a lot of background noise. Well, so I thought, well, that's the best he's got. You know, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. Until he switched over to a voiceover, where he was showing how he was setting up some lights, and as he was showing how he was doing that, his audio was beautiful. It was pristine. It was so good, in fact, that I started to doubt my memory. I started to think, well, maybe it wasn't so bad before. Maybe I was wrong. And just about that time when I was convinced that I must have been wrong, he switched back to a talking head shot of himself, again with the on-camera microphone, and I said, oh, yeah, I guess he did do that. So he was using two different microphones on two different recorders in the same video where he was the same voice. So if someone else is speaking, then it's less obvious. It might still be obvious if you go from a low noise floor to a higher noise floor, from having very little in the background to having a lot in the background, then that can be kind of obvious. But in this case, it was obvious because his voice was the same voice, so even the sound of the voice changed. Different microphones pick up different frequencies slightly differently, and one was more tinny and nasally, picked up the high part of his voice better. And the other was more bassy and low end, and it picked up the low part of his voice a little bit better. So it was still clear it was the same person, but it just wasn't good. So try and use the same microphone, same setup when you're in a single video, if at all possible. Number three, use the correct microphone. What I mean by that is there are multiple styles of microphone, but certain styles are better for certain situations. This handheld microphone on the boom stand that I'm using is fine for this situation, but if I was doing a drama or something where the person wasn't supposed to be talking into a microphone, that would be kind of obvious and annoying. So we would not want that to be clear. We would probably try and hide a lavalier on the person, or maybe even use a head-worn microphone, which would still be obvious, but it would be less obvious than having a handheld microphone. A lot of times when you're out on the road doing a shot where you're out amongst things, it's nice to have a shotgun microphone. Now, a shotgun microphone is one of those long, skinny ones. And the advantage of the long, skinny, shotgun-style microphone is that it tends to reject audio from the side. So it picks up directly in front of it and, to a smaller extent, but it still does directly behind it. So you should keep that in mind as you're using it. But that's a good microphone when you're out and about. That, by the way, is the style of microphone that they use when they're shooting sitcoms, because you can have it just out of camera range, and the people, and then you just can't see it. You might have heard I just dropped my iPhone because it was buzzing, and I get a little distracted when that happens. So use the appropriate microphone, whether it's a lavalier, a head-worn mic, a handheld microphone, something like a shotgun microphone, etc., and then you can get better sound if you choose the appropriate type of microphone for what you're doing. Next, minimize handling noise and, if possible, background noise. So your brain, knowing what's important and what's not, filters out background noise, generally speaking. So what I mean by that is, if you were in this room, you wouldn't know that there's a little bit of nature sounds coming in through the window to my right, your left. You also wouldn't know that there's a little audio coming in through the from the fan on my MacBook Pro. Now, with that said, a microphone kind of makes sound flatter, and I don't mean that from a like a dynamic sort of way. I don't mean that from the standpoint of equalization, although both of those could be the case. But what I also mean is that your ears have kind of a 3D feel to them. You know, there's two of them, and based on where things happen in space, you can kind of tell where they are. It's not perfectly accurate, but you can kind of tell. Well, that helps your brain filter things out that aren't necessary. So sometimes when you're in a movie and they're doing surround sound, you might not notice something that is part of the sound design of the movie just because it's more 3D in its space. So as you are recording, what you want to do is you want to try and minimize background noise and also try and minimize handling noise. So in this case, if I were to touch this boom stand, which I'm not going to do because, quite frankly, it would be annoying, especially if you had earbuds in right now. If I were to touch this, you would hear all kinds of handling noise. We want to minimize that. Handling noise and background noise are difficult to remove in editing. Not impossible, but difficult. It's much better, instead of trying to remove this noise, to just not record it in the first place. So that's another way to get better sound on your videos. Next, make sure you're recording to a device that has a low noise floor. We talked about noise floor earlier in the previous segment, but basically just assume that if you were totally quiet, you should not hear much. So I was quiet there, and according to the levels on this, I'm not getting much signal whatsoever. But if I were on one of those other microphones, I am getting some signal. So you want to make sure that you can get a signal that is as quiet as possible when no one is speaking or no musical instruments are playing, etc. You want it very quiet. Now, that could be the microphone, as I illustrated earlier, but it could also be the recording device. My DSLR, which is a Canon T3i, has a very high noise floor. At first, I thought that I had a bad microphone because it was so noisy. But then I tried it with a better microphone, and it was still noisy. What I realized was that what they're doing when they get a line-level signal, which is a fairly quiet signal, is it's electronically boosting everything up, and it's not doing that intelligently. So it's boosting up everything, not just within the range of audio that people tend to hear. So that's a bit of a problem. So what I would suggest to you in that case is to record on an offboard device. I don't have within arm's reach my Zoom H4, but a Zoom H4 would be a good example of an offboard recording device that has a very low noise floor. So I plug the same microphone into it, and I get a beautiful sounding recording. Then I plug that same microphone using the same cables into my DSLR, I get a horrible signal. So it can be a little gross and a little iffy. So that's what I would suggest to you, is you record on a device that has a low noise floor and can get a good hot signal. Now, once you do that, you're going to need to sync the audio in post. And here, let me show you a quick and free trick to do so that you can do this. While the camera is running, put your hands in front of the camera and clap one time. Now, I did that kind of quietly, so you may or may not have been able to hear that, but that was the point, is you can see the source of the sound as you hear the sound, so you can line those up. In the movies, there was some handling noise there as I touched that. They have these things. They're called slates. A slate is, it's designed to hold information about the production. You can see I used mine on March 8th, 2014. And they hold that information, and when this clapper claps down, you can see, especially because of the black and white painted lines, the source of the audio and the audio itself. So that is just a nice little trick, and it's an old one from when they first started having talkies, you know, back in the 20s, that is used to line up audio and video. So I really hope that that helps you. I hope it helps you to make better videos and make videos that have fewer distractions in them. If you find this information helpful, feel free to subscribe. You can subscribe on iTunes if that's how you're watching this, or this is a podcast, both audio and video, so head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/subscribe. If you like this content, don't hesitate to leave a review on iTunes. That is, again, trinitydigitalmedia.com/iTunes reviews, and that'll have all the lists of all the links to go directly to the places where you can leave those reviews, and that would help me a lot, especially 4- and 5-star reviews. So I hope that that helps you. Share this content with other people, spread the word, and together we'll go out and change eternity. Until next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.